coming up on New York Now.
I am unvaccinated. Here in New York, I stand. Come and get me now!
An anti-vaccine rally draws hundreds outside the Capitol.
Give me a microphone, because if you touch my religion, if you touch my freedom, or you touch my children, I will not stay silent.
And the first Dreamer ever elected to the Assembly, Catalina Cruz, explains why undocumented immigrants should be able to get a driver's license.
You're going to have safer streets because now you have people who are licensed and who have gone through the testing. You're going to have a safer community because now you have a way for law enforcement to be able to identify if and when a crime is committed.
It's next on New York Now, right here on PBS.
Funding for New York Now is provided by WNET. Additional funding provided by the Leo Cox Beach Philanthropic Foundation. Winner of a New York State Emmy for Best Political Program, this is New York Now.
Hi, and welcome to New York Now. I'm Matt Ryan.
And I'm Casey Seiler from the Times Union. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio joins a Democratic field that's already large enough to field 2.5 baseball teams.
We'll talk about that at the Reporters Roundtable with Karen DeWitt. First up, our headlines.
Hundreds of people descended upon West Capitol Park Tuesday to protest recently proposed legislation that would end all non-medical exemptions for vaccines for children attending schools in the state. Current law allows parents to opt out of vaccination requirements if they have religious objections. The reemergence of the measles downstate prompted Rockland County and New York City to declare public health emergencies this spring because of the outbreak. There was a wide range of speakers, filmmakers, clergy members, and parents who talked about why the legislation is bad for New Yorkers and to also push back against the notion that they're ignorant on this particular issue.
When I look out here, I see one of the most informed populations on the planet. Are you informed? Are you informed? Do you consent? Are you informed? Do you consent?
Give me a microphone, because if you touch my religion, if you touch my freedom, or you touch my children, I will not stay silent. SOS to the state of New York. We are sending it out to this entire nation.
Wake up!
SOS! 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 SOS!
I am unvaccinated. Here in New York, I stand. Come and get me now! I stand for all of you. We stand together in health.
There may be people here who are anti-vax. I'm not anti-vax. I just want safe vaccines, and I want robust science, and I want transparency in our government, and I want independent regulators who are not owned by pharma.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was the most prominent speaker. Governor Cuomo's former brother-in-law's views on vaccinations prompted a rebuke from several of his siblings recently, including this op-ed in Politico, where they said his views on the issue are wrong. The longtime Democrat took a swipe at his political party as he wrapped up his speech.
These women know what happened to their child.
Yes, we do.
And I would say that it's time for the Democratic Party to start listening to women. And what happened to the central, fundamental plank of the Democratic Party? My body, my choice. And why is our party advocating censorship? And why are we in the tank with one of the dirtiest industries in the history of mankind?
Yes.
We need to take our children back. We need to take our country back.
Yes.
We need to take our democracy back. Thank you all very much.
It's uncertain if there is enough support to pass the proposed legislation by the end of session next month. A coalition gathered on the $1 million staircase Tuesday to speak out against the Republican Senate conference's recent Justice Agenda for Victims, legislation that would keep violent criminals behind bars without parole. It was introduced as an answer to Manhattan Senator Brad Hoyleman's bill that would allow the consideration of elder parole for incarcerated people age 55 and above who have already served 15 consecutive years in prison. Senator Gustavo Rivera of the Bronx was one of several Democratic legislators at the rally.
I believe in redemption.
I believe in redemption.
I believe in redemption.
I believe in redemption.
And that is precisely why we are here. Because we believe that regardless of what you have done in your past, if you accept responsibility for your actions and you move forward, then you should not languish in jail until you perish. The basic things that we are asking for: more opportunities for people who have indeed accepted their responsibility, have paid their price, now they need to come back.
The GOP pushed back last week saying this isn't criminal justice reform, this is a new criminal's bill of rights. What do you say to that?
I say to that, you know, for over a decade they sat on the Child Victims Act, a bill that would have allowed the adult survivors of child sexual abuse to file claims against their abusers or the institutions that may have harbored them. Where's the justice in that? This is about proving to our criminal justice system that individuals who have served for 15 years or age 55 or older have rehabilitated themselves, are a low risk for future crimes, and will save the taxpayers money. And most importantly, they will be reunited with their families. And that's the mission that we have here in the state of New York, to make sure that families are united. Thank you very much.
Several advocates said these lengthy prison sentences are leading to the state's new death penalty, death by incarceration.
All right, and now for analysis of the week's news. We're happy to be joined by our colleague and friend, Karen DeWitt of New York State Public Radio.
Hey.
Not mentioned in headlines, but of course, big political news around the state this week, especially down in the city. On Thursday, the official announcement that Mayor Bill de Blasio is launching a presidential bid.
That's right. I'm going to start off by being kind to him because I think some of the tabloids in New York City have not been.
Presupposes that we're immediately going to go bad for him.
I mean, you know, he's term limited as mayor, right? And what has he got to lose? I mean, he might as well join the, 22 other candidates?
23.
At 23 and give it a try. I said the same thing when former Governor George Pataki attempted to run for president. I mean, it's free country. Why not? You know, we'll see what happens, right?
Yeah, 23 people now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to see they're still coming out after Joe Biden, who is clearly has the most name recognition. If you look at the early polls, which don't mean a whole heck of a lot, he's up huge. So why would de Blasio enter now when he sees so many people, including his fellow New Yorker Kirsten Gillibrand, struggling to get to 1%?
Well, maybe because Joe Biden has tanked a couple of times going back to 1988 trying to run for president.
So true, but he was never the clear leader
nothing,
like this.
You know.
The latest Siena poll, which came out in March, had favorable, unfavorable numbers for Mayor de Blasio. In New York City, he is basically dead even, 46% favorable, 47% unfavorable. But in the suburbs, he is 27-62, you know, 2-1 unfavorable. And upstate, 26-44, favorable, unfavorable. Those are not good numbers.
No.
Iowa, more like upstate than it's not like
well,
upstate.
Well, I never said his numbers look good. I just said, you know, if he wanted to run and make the case that I'm a progressive mayor of New York City, I have these accomplishments. I got universal pre-K. You know, I've done all these things with health care and all the various programs that he has done, you know, with varying degrees of success. He can make a case that, look, I did it in New York City. I could do it for the nation.
What did we think of his rollout video? It almost looked like the first minute and a half, he was running for mayor again.
Exactly. It was amazing. He was basically in his SUV going through the city, greeting people, very multicultural, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it prompted a video from President Trump, which I think
that's right.
Is what he wanted. He wants to be in the crosshairs of Trump and show that he can fight against him, and that improves his stature
sure.
if President
doesn't
Trump
hurt.
Is looking at him.
When Trump's calling him the worst mayor in New York City history.
That's right. He might convince some people who don't know about his record, say, well, if Trump says he's the worst, then he must be the best, right?
The president said if you like high taxes and you like high crime, he's the man for you, which has just got to be catnip to Bill de Blasio's ears.
Yeah, except for New York City is pretty safe right now. There isn't that much high crime, but yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we'll see. He could sink like a stone within a week, but there's just so many candidates. It's going to be a long, long presidential election season.
And Casey, you mentioned before we started rolling here that it looked an awful like a lot like what an Andrew Cuomo video may have been.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about this Isaac Dover piece where Cuomo appeared to be kind of making the case for the candidacy of somebody mm-hmm. like him, a progressive who can get stuff done.
I think it's very interesting that Governor Cuomo had a public event the day after de Blasio announced, and he didn't take any questions, because obviously people would want to know that. You got to think it might great on Andrew Cuomo a little bit. Here's a guy like using my lines to run for president.
Yeah. I guarantee when he does get asked that question, he's going to say exactly what you said. This is a free country. I wish him well out on the haste of the hustings.
That's right. Pretty neutral, huh?
Oh, speaking of high crime, good government groups with only a couple of weeks to go in the legislative session are renewing their calls for reforms to JCOP. The Joint Commission on Public Ethics, the state's top top watchdog body. Hasn't been a lot of talk about that.
Yeah, it does seem to be off the radar screen. Nobody really thinks JCOP is a very effective regulatory agency. We've had scandal after scandal, two former legislative leaders going to jail, former associates of Governor Cuomo going to jail, but it was not the state agency that went after them. It was the federal U.S. Attorney's Office that did, and JCOP really didn't do anything about this or really any of the scandals that have happened. So, I mean, it's a pretty good argument that they're ineffective, but it just doesn't seem like there's the will to do anything about it.
Yeah, there hasn't been a lot of trouble legislatively, at least in 2019. So JCOP is off the radar of a lot of people, maybe even some legislators.
I think so, and there's so many other big issues like renewing the rent laws and other items that are up in the next month that, yeah, it seems like it's going to fall off yet again.
Another measure that seems to be stalled that, Matt, you mentioned in headlines is the bill to restrict the number of religious exemptions for vaccinations amid this stunning measles outbreak that's sweeping the state and really all over the country, too.
Yeah, we saw a bipartisan group of legislators. Rockland County executive came up along with several Democrats looking to pass this bill to end the non-medical exemptions. Seems like it's going to have support in the Senate, but the Assembly is going to be the real problem. Jeffrey Dinowitz from the Bronx, longtime legislator, reading his body language and listening to what he said, they still need some help to get that over the edge.
It's very interesting that people on the far right and the far left both are suspicious of the vaccines for their own reasons.
You can see it at the rally.
And there is a current of that, certainly.
In the Democratic Conference, of course, it's not just getting 76 votes. You've got to have majority support within the conference.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, Karen, done with the analysis, but not done with you, because we are now going to hear your interview with Catalina Cruz.
That's right. She's the first Dreamer elected to the state assembly, which she's going to explain in the interview, and she makes the case for why undocumented immigrants should get a standard driver's license.
Catalina Cruz, thanks for joining us on this very busy assembly session day, getting towards the end of the session, and I want to talk to you about the session issues in a moment. But first, I wanted to ask you, starting with your life story, because it's pretty unique. I mean, not unique for America, but unique for the legislature. You say that you're the first Dreamer elected to the state assembly. What does that mean?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on today. It's a pleasure. It's an honor to get to share my story. It is pretty unique for an elected official. You know, I came to this country when I was 9 years old from Colombia in 1992. Weirdly, it was an election day that I came to New York.
Really?
And serendipitous. Yeah, I often think about the irony of that.
The year Bill Clinton was elected, right? Yes.
Yeah. I'll put that in my book someday. Uh-huh. And so I came during a time of drug wars in Colombia, fleeing poverty, fleeing the results of years of abuse against the community. And so I landed in New York with my mother, no papers because we were undocumented. Our family was very poor, and I was a child brought by a parent looking for a better life. And that's what a dreamer is. The children brought from other countries by their parents looking for a better life, and often undocumented. And actually always undocumented. And so that's what this is what I had to go through to get here. That's how I got my start in this country.
And a dreamer has to do with getting the money for college aid. And we know that you went on to college and law school, right?
Yeah.
And became a laborer.
The Dream Act first came out in the late 90s with Congressman Gutierrez, and back then, Dreamers, in the whole concept of what a dreamer is, it was more about getting a status. It was these young children who came here through quote-unquote no fault of their own, let's get them papers. And then it evolved via the states and individual states to let's help them get equality and education. That's what I got to vote. You know, one of my first votes since I got elected was for the Dream Act, which was extremely rewarding because when I went to college, I had to pay for it myself. I had no documents. I went to CUNY John Jay and got a bachelor in forensic psychology. And I'm very proud of all the work that I had to do, but it was exhausting. I had two jobs sometimes, working 5-6 days a week, going to school 5-6 days a week. And I got to vote so that no other young undocumented child, because when you're 19, you're still a child, has to go through that.
Now, how did you ultimately become a citizen?
My ex-husband. I married my high school sweetheart. Oh. I was with him 11 years, and he helped me go through the process of becoming a citizen.
So one of your priorities now in the session is getting undocumented immigrants able to get a standard driver's license. Do you think that that's going to be approved this year?
I'm very hopeful. I think New York has claimed to be for far too long that we are a progressive state, yet some of our policies are less than. And so I think now that we have a Democratic Senate, a Democratic Assembly, and a Democratic governor, we're out of excuses. Like, what's the excuse at this point? You know, this is a driver's license, a piece of identification that is not going to confer anything else other than a driver's license. Not status, not the ability to travel to another state, not the ability to travel to another country. It's simply driving in New York. And the law itself doesn't even grant you an automatic license. All it does is give you a chance at a license, just like you and I would have a chance at getting a license. I myself never got one when I was undocumented because I couldn't. And so that drove my family into deeper poverty, deeper inequality, and deeper fear of just being out and about in our own community.
As you know, the bill has opponents, and I know you're working to dispel what you say are some of the myths. You even made a video about that. And one of the things opponents are saying is that it could lead to criminals getting licenses, or it could be a backdoor to illegal voting because people could use the license, even though they're undocumented, to go and vote. Is that a worry?
Absolutely not. Let's talk about the voting first. You can have the license, but if you're not in the voting rolls and the voting records, you're not going to be able to vote. You're just not. It doesn't function that way. People need to stop spreading right out lies about how voting works. You have to be a citizen. You have to be registered. You have to be able to show up at the voting booth and your name be on the rolls. This is not going to automatically put your name on the rolls. It doesn't work like that. And when it comes to what it's going to do for criminals, well, it's actually going to help law enforcement, because now law enforcement can know who is this person they're stopping. Because right now, if you have a criminal person, a person who's committed a crime, who may be undocumented, doesn't have a piece of identification, the cops don't know who this person is until they run, you know, the gamut of through their computers and all these systems. They don't know who the person is. And so to think that somehow this is going to enable criminal activity instead of actually help promote safety, it's completely wrong. It's completely the opposite. You're going to have safer streets because now you have people who are licensed and who have gone through the testing. You're going to have a safer community because now you have a way for law enforcement to be able to identify if and when a crime is committed.
And you also have a safer community, because now you have a community that doesn't have to fear that if and when they are stopped by law enforcement, that their status is what's going to get them stopped, it's what's going to get them arrested.
What about people who say, well, now when I apply for a new driver's license, I need to show my passport, I need to show proof of where I live, and here are people who aren't documented that have to show a lesser standard of proof, it's not fair.
Well, that's actually what happens right now. There are two types of licenses. One is the one that complies with the federal regulations to have to be able to travel from state to state, and one is your good old driver's license for the state of New York. And so you have those requirements already there. So that argument is out the window.
Yeah, so they'd be applying for a different license, right?
Yeah,
not the enhanced license, the standard license.
You get the standard license, and right now you or I can go get the standard license or the enhanced license.
One thing I learned from your video, or maybe I forgot, is that actually before 2001, undocumented immigrants could get driver's licenses.
Absolutely.
It's not exactly, there's precedent for this, correct?
There is absolutely precedent. What happens is an ill-informed decision by a Republican anti-immigrant governor that put us in the place that we are now. We could have had safer streets. We could have had families that weren't separated. We could have had a community that was contributing even more than undocumented immigrants are already contributing. Yet, this whole fear of the other, this whole fear of the undocumented person put us in this place. And so we have states that are much less progressive than we are with driver's licenses for undocumented folks, yet we can't get it together.
As long as we're talking about the subject of immigrants, I wanted to ask you about President Trump, who is from Queens, and you represent a district in Queens, and as you know, he's based his campaign partly on antipathy to some immigrants. Have you noticed effects of his rhetoric in your community or for you personally, or a change in the atmosphere in the last couple of years?
In our community, I think what it's done is it's brought us closer. Every time he says some idiotic thing on Twitter about immigrants, about Muslims, about women, about anyone for that matter, my community will just get riled up and we'll plan things and we'll do this event and we'll do that town hall. It brings us closer because we understand that all politics are local and our ability to protect our community really is based on what we do locally rather than what he does in the White House. But on a personal level, I mean, I have my own little following of trolls on the internet that...
Really?
I've had death threats, I've had insults, I have people telling me to go back to my country, all that stuff. But these are all people that are hiding behind a computer or a phone that are not going to come out and do much.
But that's new.
Yes.
Yeah, this is your first term in office. Wondering, you know, what your impressions are of the legislature. Is it better than you thought, or is it worse than you thought? Are there things that are frustrating?
Well, remember that prior to me coming here, the history of what our legislature has been able to do is not great.
Well, we had a divided legislature, Republicans in the Senate,
and
Democrats
in
the
Assembly. And so the stories that you would hear on the outside, and I have worked in Albany, I actually worked on the second floor for a very long time for the governor, and so my view was a little bit different of how work got done. Mm-hmm. Once I got in and we have this more united front of Democratic leadership, it's been great. You know, it's very long hours, really hard work, really good community work, but it's been good. And I think my colleagues and I are more or less aligned in values. We might have some differences of opinion on how to get to them, but I think we all are working for the working class, the middle class, making sure that people can exit poverty, making sure that we have health care, better rent laws, that we have immigrants that are protected. I think we have these basic values that just make working here that much better.
Well, it's true. You're all Democrats in the Assembly, but some of them are, you know, older, let's say, maybe more traditional Democrats. Is there any friction with that?
I wouldn't call it friction so much as a different path to the same goal. And so the way in which they're used to doing things and the way in which we want to do things doesn't always align. And so there will be conversations about what is the best avenue. And sometimes they are right and the way to do things will always be the way to do things. And sometimes we're right, where a little bit more progress on how to get to the same goal is beneficial.
So we've got about 5 weeks left of session, right?
Ooh,
and lots of activity going on, as we can see around us. So what are
What are some of the things you think really you would like to see done before you guys leave?
So I'd like to see our rent laws strengthened and renewed.
They expire June 15th. Yes.
So I want to see that happen. I want to see driver's licenses for all happen. I want to see, I have a particular bill that I introduced that would criminalize wage theft. So if an employer steals from his workers, he goes to jail. It's no longer going to be a civil penalty. Simply, you are going to face criminal penalties. Because for far too long, poor people have had their wages stolen with not much recourse. And so those are the things that I'd really like to see. I'd like to see those three things happen. And if they happen, I'm going to be like, all right, we're good.
Right. Well, we'll check back with you June 19th. Thanks for joining us busy day. Really appreciate it.
Should undocumented immigrants be allowed to obtain a driver's license? That's this week's poll question at nynow.org. Last week, we asked if New York Democrats were paying too much legislative attention to President Donald Trump. And the majority of our voters said, yes, they are. Chris in Canastota, watching on WCNY, said they're not doing their job. It's all about getting rid of Trump. So wrong and totally political. Vincent in Queens agreed. He's tuning in on WNET. This is so obviously political and one-sided. Legislators should spend what little time they have left on bipartisan efforts that benefits all New Yorkers. And finally, Emmy in Rensselaer County was in the minority, saying no other state is in a position to do this. It is our responsibility. As always, thanks so much for taking the time to vote. We hope to hear from you again this week at nynow.org. It's where you can find all of our past programs, plus links to us on social media. And there's a link to the Capital Confidential blog. It's also accessible at timesunion.com.
All right, that's all the time we have this week. I'm Casey Seiler from the Times Union.
And I'm Matt Ryan. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time right here on your local PBS station.